Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast, where we hope to inspire you to dream bigger, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be your most authentic self. To the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we have a special guest with us today. She is the president-elect for the Missouri Realtors and also the broker and owner of RE/MAX Professionals in St. Joe. So welcome, Bobby Howe.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, thanks for having me, ladies. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. You know, as we're kicking off this new year, we are really focused on leadership. And that's one reason we wanted to have you on and talk about your journey in leadership. But I think, first of all, we need to sort of set the stage for our listeners, because while we're both broker owners, we know that not all of our listeners are in real estate, so they might not understand the complexity of how our association is. So Bobby is the incoming president of Missouri Realtors. We're currently at what, Bobby, 26,000 members, roughly?
Yep, we're right at 26, yep.
Okay. And the largest trader organization in the state.
Those are facts, and we're very, very proud of that.
Yes. So it's a big job that you have in front of you, but let's let our listeners get to know you a little bit. If you'd tell us a little bit about what you do and who you are and how you got there.
I do a little bit of everything, just like all of us that are here today. We do a little bit of everything, but my journey into real estate began when I was 8 years old. My mom was a single parent. I was an only child, and she got into real estate. She was a teller at a local bank here in town. And there was a gentleman that would come through and make large deposits on a regular basis. And she kind of struck up a friendship with him and discovered he was a local broker. And he took an interest in my mom and said, you know what, I think you'd make a really amazing realtor. And he taught her to save up 6 months worth of living expenses. So when I was 8 years old, she left her job as a teller, took a chance on herself and got into real estate. She was rookie of the year, her very first year in real estate. And then she was almost always the number one producer in our community for about 20 years after that. I said that I was never going to get into real estate because by the time I was a senior in high school, I was completely burnt out. But on my 18th birthday, my mom asked me to take my real estate test. I'd taken the classes during my senior year of high school, and I was licensed on my 18th birthday. And while there was a year here or a year there that I left actual real estate, for the most part, I've been doing real estate literally since I was 18 years old and have just keep moving up the ranks and doing all kinds of different jobs and roles along the way. I've been lucky enough to have the opportunity to run a 500 agent office in North Kansas City. I did that for several years. I coach a lot of broker owners all across the country. And now I spent a little bit of time the last few years running the regional portion of a national franchise in seven states. We had about 250 offices in those seven states. And then the last two roles, the 500 agent role and the running the regional office, what I discovered was it was taking so much time away from my family that I wasn't living the life that I wanted to live. And so I resigned from that role last April and became an owner in my office and went back into real estate sales so that I could have it all, as we like to say. But my family comes first and foremost because my mom never put family first. And so sometimes that means leaving a large role so that I can focus on what's most important to me and not just have a title on a piece of paper.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for just a minute. So tell us what, obviously you just said the biggest reason was time management. It was taking so much time away. Tell us what your biggest takeaways were with leading that large of a company, that many agents. There's a lot of leadership involved in that because you've got so many personalities that you're dealing with. So what, So what were some of your biggest lessons that you take forward into your life now?
Well, so one of the very first lessons that I took away whenever I started running this large office of agents is, you know, prior to that, all of my experience in real estate was that so many of our transactions, you have the highs and the lows, you know, from 30 seconds apart. And a lot of times those emotions feel like they're coming from the buyers and the sellers, those people that don't do transactions on a regular basis. And so we're feeding off of their emotions. Mm-hmm. What I discovered during that time was that for a lot of these transactions, at least in my personal experience, I believe the buyers and the sellers were actually feeding off the emotions of their realtor who didn't mm-hmm. know how to actually control their emotions. So mm-hmm. these people that only buy or sell houses every 5, 10, 15 years, if the professional that's supposed to be doing this every day is freaking out, right. me as the civilian, I'm going to start freaking out if they're freaking out. And so I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I learned is mm-hmm. that so many of our people need to learn how to control their own emotions and act like a professional during this transaction. And to be clear, we have most of our people do that, but it takes just one or two people to completely upset the apple cart and to get things spiraling and going from there. The other thing that I know this has always been a takeaway for me and that I've known for a long time, though, is that you teach other people how to treat you. And mm-hmm. there's three parts to that. There's what you stop, there's what you allow, and there's what you reinforce. And we reinforce bad behaviors from our clients, our agents, from everything all day long. And what does that look like? That's when they reach out to you at 11 o'clock at night with something that's not urgently important. You mm-hmm. curse at your phone because you don't want to deal with it, but you just want to get it off your plate. So you respond back to them and answer their question. Sure, no problem. Here's the information you need. You just reinforce to them that they can reach out to you anytime.
Right.
If we set boundaries, if we set expectations, I'm available for you from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And unless the world is on fire, it will get dealt with the next morning. If we don't set those expectations, we can't get mad at our people. And when we do set those expectations, 99% of the people in our world will follow those expectations. And the 1% that don't follow those, we need to kick those people out of our world because they're just bringing us down because they're selfish, toxic people that need to make things about themselves. And we don't need to surround ourselves with those people, whether they be our clients or they be agents in our own office. Sometimes mm-hmm. we have agents in our office, I hate to say it, that may might be better suited somewhere else. And yeah. that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those are great points, Bobby. I like the fact that you say we are the professionals, yet our emotions play into that. And I think that's really quite true. I think some of it is because we want to be that provider of great service. And sometimes in doing so, though, we cross a line. We cross a line into now we're taking this all on ourselves and we forget our position as a neutral party. And then those emotions spill over. And, you know, in leadership too, as a leader of a company, if we're going to have a breakdown, we should have it in private, right? We should not have it in front of someone because our job is to stay positive and make sure that everybody's moving in the same direction and try to keep emotion out of it as much as possible.
Yeah, that's what my ownership group of my office, we have a private text with the three of us, but that's where we release our emotions and we help each other out. And it's, you know, I always say it takes a village, not just to raise a child, but it takes a village to raise an adult. We all need a village and we need a village that we're a part of. And there's people who are part of our village. And that village is where you get those emotions and you deal with that, especially when it's part of your village is people who are in the same industry as you and they can get, it's like when I needed to email you ladies this morning and said, we may have an issue and I know you're going to understand it because we've all been there. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes the things that I vent about in this industry to my husband, he doesn't understand it. He does lawn right. care and plays with fertilizer all day long. He doesn't understand that there's no life or death in, you know, his industry. And yet sometimes in our industry, we act like there's life and death when there's not really life or death, but because we're dealing with someone's largest financial asset, sometimes it feels like there may be death if we don't get this deal accomplished or where we want it to go.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah. So Bobby, let's shift gears into your decision to be Missouri Realtors president. Mm-hmm. You don't just wake up overnight and say, this is what I'm going to do, because it takes some planning. You've already said that your family comes first. And we know we've been president of our local association. So we know what kind of it's like having another job, right? It's a big commitment. And for those of you who don't know, you have to start that. You're in your third year of service currently or fourth?
Third. Treasurer. Yeah, third.
Yeah. So it takes you 3 years. Four?
Well, I guess as president will be my fourth year. Sorry. I'm confused on the timeline where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. So it takes you 3 years to get to that position and then you serve for a year. So tell us about that decision to do that and why you chose to.
Well, it's a funny story and I laugh at it because it goes back, the actual story goes back probably about a decade now. I was in Chicago attending a National Association meeting insight in the headquarters building there on Michigan Avenue. And Elizabeth Mendenhall and Sharon Keating, past Missouri Realtors presidents, were in attendance at that meeting. And it was breakfast time and I'm eating, you know, something. And they sat down with me and they said, "Hey, Bobby, when are you running?" I'm a runner. And I go, "Oh, I just ran this morning." And they're like, no, Bobby, when are you running for Missouri Realtors president?" And I said, what are you talking about? Like, that idea had never, ever crossed my mind. And they said very frankly to me, "We need some more strong female leaders to step up at the state level. We think you would be great for that." And I was like, "I got a 2-year-old at home. Like, this is not interesting me whatsoever." But it was something that hung out in the back of my head that was like, when the timing is right, that's something I would consider doing. And so after I ran my office of 500 agents and I stepped away from that, because my husband had a very frank conversation with me that said, "You've turned into a complete jerk. It's either you keep that job or you leave it and you come back to your family." And obviously I chose my family. But mm-hmm. then I realized that I had an opening in my schedule that allowed me to, you know, I could foresee a time running for Missouri Realtors president. And so it was right before COVID. Had I known that all those things were going to happen, I don't know how that all would have shook out. But it all worked out. The timing worked out. And I knew that by the time I would make it to this level, my son would be 12 years old, sixth grade, getting ready to go into seventh grade for the time for us family. And I was like, you know, that feels right for us. But it was a very long thought out process for the last decade of if and when does this fit into my family's life? That goes first and foremost. And does it fit into my professional life? Because, you know, it's going to require, you know, there's all the New York Times articles out right now about all the compensation at NAR's levels. And we can talk about that because there's been dramatic changes at the NAR level, that none of those things are currently in place. However, whenever you step into this role, like, you know, stepping into the local role, because I've been a local president for 3 years over the past decade, is you take time away from your business to do that. So knowing that your business is going to be at a sustainable level when you choose to go into this extra volunteer role just adds a whole nother level to all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I just found a time that I think hopefully works. You know, it is what it is and we're just going to make it work, right?
Yeah. So 2-part question. There were a lot of changes and a lot of scuttlebutt in the news, a lot of drama in the real estate world in 2024. Tell us what you have learned through all of that, because being at a higher leadership level, Missouri Realtors has to handle all of that differently than even local associations do, and definitely differently than brokers do. Tell us what 2024 has taught you about our industry, and then tell us what you hope 2025 looks like for you as the Missouri Realtors president.
Yeah. And if we're talking about just the NAR stuff, I will say that in addition to being the 2025 Missouri Realtors president, I do currently serve on the NAR Finance Committee. So I am seeing and being a part of everything. And the thing that I want to say at the NAR level is that I am so extremely proud of the leaders that we have there right now. And that starts with our new CEO, Nakia Wright. I love that she came from outside the real estate industry because I truly believe that she is shaking up and doing things differently. Secondly, Kevin Sears is the right leader at the right time. He's already told the story of when he was on a 20-day trip for NAR and he needed to get some laundry done. And he was so excited because the Marriott he was staying in said it had laundry facilities. He went to the front desk to find out where those facilities were. And they're like, "No, you just, here's the bag. You put it in here." And it was $4 just to wash one pair of underwear. And he said, "I can't do that. I can't do that on the association's dime." So he got into an Uber and he went to a laundromat and he spent the next 3 hours sitting in a laundromat doing all of his own laundry. You know, the stories that New York Times are writing, they're not talking anything about that. They're just talking about the old stuff that happened in the past that we can't go back and change. And in addition to that, just last week, I'm in a group text of Kevin and seven other friends, and he was flying on an Allegiant airline in a super economy class. He was bigger than his actual seat. Like, you could see he was just like, he's like, next time I need to buy two seats because I don't fit. So I am, that's one of the things that I'm excited going into 2025 and 2026 is the new thought process behind the leaders we have at the national level and how that's coming down to the state level and how that's going down to even the local levels. We have to be looking at everything through not just necessarily what we're doing and our everything we're doing at the best level for our membership, but what are the optics of what we're doing too? Because everyone's paying attention to everything. You know, there's a lot of controversy going on out in Nevada and the Las Vegas realtors right now. And one of the big controversies is, I guess, last year's installation was like a $300,000 event. How does having a how does having a $300,000 event that lasts for a couple of hours, how does that serve the association at the highest level? That's actually something you're going to even see coming from NAR. Those, the big fancy inaugural galas, those are going to be a thing of the past. We all have to be smarter in how we do what we do. And then just looking at the settlement and the way that that's changed our industry, thankfully, it hasn't changed too much of the way we do business in Missouri because we were already doing buyer agency. However, what do those conversations continue to look like, especially when we have statewide forms in Missouri that cover majority of how we do real estate in Missouri, but then you have St. Louis forms and you have Kansas City forms that operate very differently now than the state forms, and they used to all operate differently. And at least in my market, you can use a Missouri form or you can use a Kansas City form, but the directions that those take afterwards are going to lead you down very different paths. And so just understanding the differences between those and knowing one set of form may be in the best interest of a buyer, one set of forms may be in the best interest of a seller, and how do we get to what's the best win-win for everybody, or else we're just going to be back in the same mess that we're in and just trying to get all that stuff coming back together. And then at the most basic level, what NAR and Missouri Realtors has to do is we have to support our locals better, and we have to show what our true value is, because the average agent only, and not even to a certain full extent, understands what the local association does for them because they know they get MLS access, they probably get some forms, and they get lock boxes. And that's what the average top producer, my mom was that top producing agent that never engaged with the association. And so that's all she saw that they did for them. But we all know that all three levels do so much more than that. And we have to do a better job of communicating our value to every single member and understanding every single member is going to want a different experience. We keep talking about this at the Missouri leadership team is we have to have a very Netflix experience for people that when you come to us, we know what's most important to you and we're pushing those resources towards you, not just a blanket for everybody, because everybody's going to want it. You know, member engagement is going to be different for every single member. And we need to engage where the member wants us to engage, not where we want them to engage with us.
Right.
That was long-winded. Sorry.
Agree. No, said perfectly and easy to understand, even for the person, the non-realtor, right? Value proposition's huge.
Value proposition is everything. You know, everything we do comes back to, if you can't sell, you know, price is only an issue in the absence of value. So if I can't sell you my value, you're going to question my price all day long. And whether that's only $157 per year or that's 3% on a transaction, if you don't understand what I'm giving you and I don't understand why I'm giving it to you, you're going to question it every day.
Right. Of course. Right. So as leaders, like you alluded to there, Tanya, you know, whether you're the national, the Cattlemen's Association or the, you know, Realtor Association or the Association of Fairs or whatever it is, there has to be value placed on that. And I think in lots of industries, they're not there yet. They don't understand that value has to be there because their membership has been guaranteed for whatever reason, you know, and we think in our companies that we've developed this culture and that our agents aren't going to leave or our employees are going to be happy, but that doesn't stop. That's a continuous thing. That's something that as a leader, you constantly have to look at.
Recently, Brianna Vanstrom, the CEO of Missouri Realtors, myself and Brian Jared, the incoming president for Missouri, or the president-elect for 2025 for Missouri Realtors, we attended in Savannah, Georgia, a conference for the American Society of Association Executives. So it's all about, you know, but it was a bunch. We were like us, Chicago Realtors, and there was one other realtor group there. We were the only realtors there, but there was the American Association of Court Reporters. It was the Risk Management Association. It was the Physicians Association. Mm. And they talked about a lot of trends that are happening within the association world. And so many of the same things that we're worried about here in the Realtor Association world, they're worried about in all the other associations. We're not alone in this. And then they went through like 18 different dysfunctions of an association. We have like every single one of them, just like these other industries do. But we like to think that we're different, we're special, and what happens in real estate doesn't happen anywhere else. But it does. It just happens in different ways. And there's just a little bit more attention on us right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was another New York Times article that came out again today. And so we're over it.
Yeah. Frankly. Yeah. No kidding. Sometimes we expect that, no, sometimes we expect each other to ask the question, or we run over each other with the questions.
Yeah.
You know, it's one or the other.
My co-host and I do the exact same thing. Alex and I do the exact same thing. So you're fine.
So your 25 presidency year, how excited are you about that? And what does that mean for you through your eyes, looking out into us, the realtors who look to you for leadership? What does that look like from a leadership perspective for you?
Yeah. I'm trying to not get emotional here with you ladies today, because the weight of the ask to do this is not lost on me. I don't just take this for granted. This is not a resume builder for me. I understand that now more than ever, we have to have leaders. And we have to have leaders that are listening to their members and listening to their people. That's something that I'm very proud of our leadership team that we have right now. And you'll notice that almost none of us will say my leadership team. It's our leadership team, because it's ours and it belongs to the entire association. I've already had a few people that are chairs or vice chairs of different committees reaching out to me and going, what are your ideas you want for the year? And I'm very quick to say, this isn't about me. This is about listening to our people. And be quite frank with you, it's going to be listening to the people that are more engaged, because they're going to talk to us more. Mm-hmm. But it's about being there and serving people at the most basic level and bringing the ideas up so that we're serving everybody. And that this isn't just about my presidency. This is not about Brian or Brent's presidency the next few years coming, that we're all working together as a group and serving our association and giving back to something that's given so much to us by giving of our time and listening to people more than we speak.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it's so important. I think we all as leaders have seen, and we watch others make it more about their own journey and themselves. And it's not only frustrating, but sometimes it's just too much, depending on who it is and what that looks like. So I think we fellow leaders can appreciate that stance on it, Bobby.
Yeah, it gets frustrating when you hear someone standing and pounding their chest, me, me, me.
Exactly.
No offense, but no one actually cares about you. People care about themselves and how or what are you doing as a leader? Right. How is that helping me versus the leader getting up and just talking about themselves all day long? No one cares about me. And I'm good with that, because I'm here for everybody else.
Sure.
Yeah. And you know, it makes for a more cohesive leadership exchange, if you will, because mm-hmm. you know, if you as the leader have a set agenda, and then Brian comes in and he's got a set agenda, and Brent has a set, you know, I think that's one thing that we all need to learn a little bit, is that communication within our organizations, whether it be an association like what we're talking about, or even within my four walls, somebody else has to know what's going on. It can't be Angie's agenda. It cannot be, you know, we've been talking to a lot of leaders about getting the buy-in of the people around you, the people that you serve, because I serve the agents that are within my office. I have two clients, really. I serve them and I serve the end user, the client. So, you know, we all have to be better about making things more cohesive, making sure that it is, we're in this together, that we're asking the right questions, that we are providing the value and saying, what do you want? What is it that, mm-hmm. that we as a management team or an association can do better for you?
I love what you say, because that, you know, it goes back to even when I worked retail for a period of time in my life. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I was taught is because I took over some management roles, because apparently I don't like to just be like a regular employee. We should just be in management. It's fine. And my management role, what I was taught from our district manager was, if you take care of your people will take care of the customer in the end. So I didn't have to worry about serving every single customer that came in the door. I just had to take care of my employees, because I knew if they were happy, they would take care of the end consumer. And I think somewhere along the way, we forget to take care of our people. And that's, if you create an environment where people feel respected and heard, they will stay with you for forever. But that's one of the reasons I've left my last couple of roles, was I didn't feel like I was even noticed in my roles that I was in. And it's like, why am I staying? You know, one of my favorite Grant Cardone quotes, I have a whole bunch of favorite quotes, but one of them is a Grant Cardone quote that says, as long as you are alive, you will either be used to serve as a resource to fulfill someone else's dream or your own dreams. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I love fulfilling my own dreams and fulfilling the dreams of other people. And I don't want to be used as a resource to do somebody else's dirty work.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So if you were to give someone the accolades of being your mentor, and there may be several people, right, over a span of your career in real estate and retail, you could have had a boss in retail that taught you how you didn't want to be in your future leadership role, or, you know, et cetera. We have all kinds of examples. Who would be a mentor, mentors, and what was it that they instilled in you or taught you?
I've actually already mentioned both of their names before, but they actually came into my life at different points in my life. So the very first mentor that I really had, and she didn't know it until thankfully a few years before she passed, and that was Sharon Keating. So when I was a junior in high school, I had the opportunity to attend an event that Missouri Realtors used to put on the University of Missouri campus called Missouri Business Week. It was founded by Richard Mendenhall. And it went for about 25 years before it eventually stopped. And I got the opportunity to attend that as a student camper. And I came back the next summer as a student intern. And I met a gentleman there who had been a student intern the previous year. It just so happened he also was Sharon Keating's personal real estate assistant. And he and I dated for about 2 or 3 years. His name has the same first name as my husband's now name, but which is always a weird thing in my family. He was Ryan number one, and I'm now married to Ryan number two. But during that time I was dating him, I would go to Jefferson City often, and I got to spend a lot of time with Sharon Keating just while he was running errands and doing things for her. And she just showed me what a strong leader can do for her people, because she was always there for her people. She was always listening to her people. She was always giving back to her people while still being the queenie that we all know her to have been with us. And then I had the opportunity when I came back into real estate as an adult after I went through high school, I came down to a Missouri Realtors business conference, because the center committee used to still be a committee for Missouri Realtors. And that's the group that put on Missouri Business Week. And I was ready to go back and it'd be an advisor like Sharon Keating was when I was attending. And I showed up at one of the events and there was a staff member called Vivian Benedict. And I walked through the door and she goes, "Bobby, oh my gosh, we've got this program at Missouri Realtors called Missouri Leadership Academy. It's just like Missouri Business Week for adults. You should apply to this." Well, that was my first time attending a Missouri Realtors business conference. I filled out the application. I got accepted the next year. And it's while I was going through that opportunity that I got to know Elizabeth Mendenhall. And I will say this, and people say it to Elizabeth's face all the time, and she agrees with it. So I'm not talking about behind Elizabeth's back, because it's probably get to her and she'll be like, but no, she knows this. When you first get to know Elizabeth, she seems very standoffish. And it's because she's actually an extroverted introvert. She's actually, for as much as she talks on stages and she can get in front of people, when it comes to like small cocktail conversations. That's just not really her style. But I was able to just spend enough time with her that I felt like I was finally not breaking through her wall, but she would just give me a little support here, or I could just watch what she was doing, and it was inspiration to me. So I don't even think Elizabeth knows she's been as much of a mentor to me as she has, but I still remember we had, when she was NAR president, she was with us at a Missouri Realtors Business Conference. We were in Kansas City. We were in the basement of the Intercontinental, and that's when the new NAR logo came out. And everybody lost their mind over how horrible the logo was. And I think we called that logo gate. But I just remember watching how she responded to all that controversy that basically just came at her. Like, you're an idiot. How could you ever allow this to happen? And she just kept her calm and her cool. And she moved the organization forward. And there were so many controversial things that came up through her year as NAR president. But just watching how she kept her calm and her cool, and her emotions didn't blow out to anybody. Now, I'm sure back in her room or with her friends on her text that things were blowing up and she couldn't believe the way people were reacting. Mm-hmm. She was so professional with her responses that that was just always been someone that I've just looked up to. And so knowing that both of those are Missouri Realtors past presidents, and just that they gave back to me whether they realized it or not.
Well, and one thing I want to say to that is it's amazing how oftentimes you might not know somebody very well, kind of like your example you gave, but you're admiring quietly and taking notes quietly and watching how they react quietly. You're, you know, putting all of this information inside of yourself so that you can one day emulate how she's acting.
Yeah.
And I love that example, because I would say a lot of us could sit and think about that. And we all could probably come up with a name of someone who had mentored us, but to come up with a name of someone who's not technically, you know, you've not flown under her wing and worked for her or with her or whatever. I love that subtle mentorship that you can appreciate.
Yeah. I mean, she's someone that for probably a good 15 years that I just looked up to, and she inspired me, and I wanted to emulate what she did. But I would say it's only been within the last 12 to 24 months that I felt like I broke down that wall and that we're close friends. She would probably say we've been close friends a lot sooner than that. But for me, I just felt like I finally had broken through that. But it wasn't flying under her wing. She wasn't one-on-one-ing with me, but I felt like she had a greater impact on me than anybody that's ever spent one-on-one time with me.
Yeah. We recently at our local women's event that we had back in October, we talked about mentorship, and that sometimes you know, it's not a label. It's not necessarily someone that you say, you are my mentor. We pick up bits and pieces from people, and we have to remember as leaders that people are always watching, and that they are, where we have emulated some things from people that we've known, people are emulating things that we're doing. So we just need to be sure we're doing the right things.
Yeah. It always amazes me that when I even just travel, some of the conversations that people have with me based on things I posted on social media or whatever, there are things that they've never responded to, they've never give a reaction to, they've never commented on. I have no idea it's on their radar. And then they'll come up to me and start talking about something, and you're like, oh, people are always watching the good and the bad. And it's
with right.
that, you know, the question you said was also, is there anybody who I've learned from leadership not to emulate? And I will say the last two major corporate roles that I've had, I'll be flat out honest, the leaders that I had above me in those roles, I won't say that they failed me, because that's victim mentality, and I don't like victim mentality. However, I learned not to treat my people the way that they treated me. And the way that they treated me was basically by ignoring me. People who had been in the role that I'd been in before, and when I asked questions, hey, what about this? Just go figure it out on your own. And or 6 months between having conversations on my performance and how I'm doing in comparative to what they were hoping for my performance. And people want to be seen, they want to be heard, and they want to be recognized. And when we just ignore them, and, you know, it's kind of like your spouse. My spouse says, you say I love you way too much. And I'm like, well, I'd rather you know every 5 minutes that I love you than opposed to just you know it. And I say it every 6 months because I'm one of those people. I don't want there to ever be a doubt in your mind about how I feel towards you. And it's the same thing with your people. You need to let them know that you notice them, even the little bitty things that they're doing. Actually, sometimes recognizing the little bitty tiny things they do.
You're right.
So much more than the big things they do, because everybody's going to congratulate them for the big things. But the little things like, you knocked that out today. Way to go. People love that. And when we ignore our people, we just make them think that they don't, we didn't notice them. And
we didn't notice it. Yeah. That's so true. I love that.
Yeah. So Bobby, what does leadership mean to you? And how do you embody those values?
Yeah. Leadership to me is giving back. So, a part of my story, and we haven't touched on it at all here today, is, you know, that, well, the part of it we touched on was I got into real estate because my mom was in real estate and I didn't really have a choice then. But I've left and I've come back a couple of different times. So, I mean, I did have a choice in there. However, it was approximately 12 years ago that I lost my mom to suicide. And at the time that I lost her to suicide, I had a 4-month-old little boy at home, and it was my first day back to work after maternity leave. And I didn't know how I was going to stay in an industry that had taken so very, very much from me, because real estate consumed my mom's world. It was very first and foremost to everything she did. Her husbands came second. She had 5 of them. And then Bobby was somewhere third, but I'm cool with that because I raised myself pretty much okay. I'm good with that. We're okay. Mm-hmm. But what I learned over the next 6 to 9 months as I, tried to figure out where do I fit in this world now that my mom is gone. And I had left working for my mom at that point. I was working at a different brokerage. We weren't working together. But I still had to decide, how did I stay in an industry? But what I learned was that this industry has given me so very, very much. I wouldn't be the human being that I am today had I not grown up in this industry, had I not had opportunities like Missouri Business Week. And I know I already brought up that story, but I didn't say is I went into that week a very shy, introverted kid, was a total nerd who never talked to anybody. And I went into that week, I got to know people. By the end of the week, I was a spokesperson for our entire company, and I came out a completely changed, extroverted kid. And my mom was like, I don't even know who you are anymore. But what I learned was this was an industry that had given so very, very much to me. So I see my leadership role as one of giving back, sharing the lessons that I've learned during real estate, both from my mom's career, my career, just from my times as leaders. There's been failures, there's been successes, and just sharing and giving back to others so that they can either have the same experiences and or not have the same experiences, because they can help learn from the mistakes that I had along the way. And that's what leadership means to me. Leadership means that someone has poured their self in and just want to give it back to see other people succeed. It's not about a title. It's not about something on a piece of paper that may or may not. Because at the end of the day, my big why is having incredible life experiences with my little boy. And my husband just gets to come along on the journey with us. But this is a part of an amazing life experience that I can have by giving back to others and showing that to my son and having him along on this journey with me. And that's why we just recently found out that my son has a symphony performance, a youth symphony performance, at the exact same time as my installation.
January.
And he's sitting with an hour away. However, we're working out the scheduling so that him and my husband can be there right at the beginning of my installation. They're going to miss dinner. They're going to miss women's council, all the things before that. But I'm not letting this be something that gets missed, because this is an incredible life experience. And I wanted to share that with my son while giving back to everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like you've got it planned out perfectly.
Well, this all happened last Monday. So it's about this time last Monday, whenever my son comes back from one of his symphony rehearsals, he's like, "Hey mom, January 21st at 7 p.m. I've got a concert." And I was like, no, you don't. No, we are somewhere else doing something else. And so, but we're getting there.
Pivot. Yeah. Pivot.
That's what we learned during COVID. So I was a Kansas City president during COVID. So I learned to pivot really quick that year. So, another pivot in 25.
That's right. Right. Can manage this. Well, Bobby, I appreciate your perception of leadership. I think that it's important for other people to see through leaders' eyes, and we hope to do that this year in 25 to, you know, highlight different leaders in different industries and how they see leadership through their eyes. And I promise there are going to be lots of people looking at you and watching for your leadership skills to, you know, to give them something to emulate in the future.
Well, I just want to say that to anybody listening to this, whether you're in the real estate industry or you're not, I am always a resource and I'm available to anybody and everyone. Send me ideas, reach out to me. Let's get on a Zoom. We'll have a phone call, whatever it is. It can just be a one-way conversation or it can be a two-way. I'm just here for everybody just to help in any way I can, because what I've learned is that when I help someone else, they're inherently helping me through ways they don't even understand.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
That's a great point to end on.
It really is.
Yeah. Bobby, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you so much and we wish you the best for this year and in your leadership and look forward to it.
Thank you so much for having me. And if you ever need anything, I'm right here for you.
Okay.
Sounds great. Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. We will catch you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.